here's a story from The World.
For the next few minutes, we're going to talk about a catastrophe that did not happen, and it was in a politically sensitive part of the world. We're talking about the Red Sea, which touches the shores of a number of countries, including Sudan, Egypt, Israel, Jordan, and Yemen. You might remember hearing about this story.
Just off the coast sits a decaying oil tanker, ready to burst.
On board are more than 1.1 million barrels of oil.
That could leave nearly 8 million people without water.
But that is not going to happen, because a team led by veteran UN diplomat David Gressley brokered a deal to prevent what would have been a massive oil spill and an environmental disaster. David Gressley joins us from Washington. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
David, you've just returned from Yemen. How close were we to a million-barrel oil spill?
Well, too close for comfort. The vessel was rapidly decaying. None of the systems worked that normally protect the vessel. In fact, it almost sank in September of 2020, a stark reminder of how serious an issue it was.
Now, you arranged for the oil from this rusting oil tanker to be pumped into a replacement vessel. This was a huge undertaking. Take us on board the disabled tanker, the FSO Saffir, and what it was like to watch this happen.
Well, it was an incredible boat to start with. To go around the whole vessel is almost a kilometer just to do the perimeter. And of course, you could see it was decaying. And, you know, it had its dangers, too. As each chamber was emptied of oil, there was always a risk of an explosion if the salvage crew didn't do their job correctly. But, of course, they did. And we were able to successfully remove the oil. It was a heroic effort.
Now, arranging this whole thing to get the oil off this disabled tanker meant that you had to negotiate with Yemen's Houthi rebels to get their cooperation. Remind us who they are and why that was so tricky.
The Houthis basically run the country where the bulk of the population lives, and they're a very, very difficult group to work with, isolated. They receive support from Iran and have run an ongoing civil war since 2015. So it was not seen to be an easy task to work with them, but we found common interests, looking at a common threat, which was the oil spill itself. So they had an interest in us succeeding on this, but we had to do it in a way that satisfied their security concerns. Likewise, we had to do the same thing with the government of Yemen itself. So it was not just a bilateral kind of negotiation, but rather a complex one that involved not only the authorities in Sana'a, but also the government of Yemen proper, which is based in Aden right now, but also the coalition led by Saudi Arabia in Riyadh.
So essentially, you had to kind of run interference between several different parties, you know, the official government of Yemen, the Houthi rebels, Saudi Arabia, all sorts of
yes.
things. So you're in this kind of unusual situation of dealing with all parties.
Yeah, I would describe it more as building trust and confidence rather than running interference. I think it was a massive trust-building exercise on all sides. And they're parties in conflict with each other. So one would expect that there would be a great deal of suspicion and distrust. So that was the mountain we had to overcome in order to get everybody on board.
David, at the same time, there's a war going on in Yemen, and you're the UN's humanitarian coordinator for Yemen. And in that role, you're also helping to keep essential food aid for 17 million people at risk of starvation in Yemen. I'm wondering, how do you kind of kept everything on track?
Well, it wasn't easy. I think the main way was we have a really good country team in the United Nations. And we, of course, we had to work on both sides of the front lines of the civil war in order to reach everyone. And so it was a constant challenge, a constant negotiation, a constant effort to build trust so that we could continue to deliver to the most needy across the country. And there were 17 to 19 million people.
When you were trying to get the Houthis and the Yemeni government to trust each other, what was your method?
Well, I think number one was transparency, to make sure that everybody knew what I was doing at all times, so that at least build the trust in my own efforts, even if they didn't trust each other. And then just continuous discussions, continuous negotiations were required every day, actually, often for multiple hours. The parties have to look you in the eye and listen to you and believe in you. And once that happens, then you can start to do real business.
David, in your 40 years of international experience, you've served in conflict zones, managed the UN's Ebola response, food crises in the Sahel region in Africa. You've supervised operations in Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea, India, and Nigeria. It's a huge range of experience in a lot of different crises. How did that help you in your final chapter with the UN, which was in Yemen?
Oh, very much. Each experience built on the other, particularly working in conflict zones, as I have really for the last 20 years. I've learned to work with disparate groups that are in conflict and learned how to find ways to deliver, whether it's assistance or an Ebola response, or in the Congo is more political to try to de-escalate conflicts themselves. And each time I learned some new approaches, new techniques that I could pull together when I was in Yemen. And I think there is a commonality of approaches that work across regions from Africa to the Middle East.
David Gressley is the outgoing UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Yemen. Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure.